God is good. Oh, well, thank you, Monica. I was waiting for a response there. But, well, Monica thinks God is good. So Monica gets class captain today. You get class captain, prefect award today. God is good. I'm making that as a statement, but I'm looking for some sort of interaction here. Do we agree that God is good? You know, I know we're charismatic. We may not be overly Pentecostal, but it would be nice to get a little bit of interaction in the way we engage here. God is good. Amen. Thank you. Has anyone got any stories, any testimonies where they've of the week that they've had and how God has been involved in their life? And it may be that they've not fully gone through the whole journey and they can give us a conclusion that we want to celebrate, but maybe you just want to share that, you know, you're standing in a pile of mud metaphorically and God's standing in it with you. That's okay. That's testimony as well. It's testimony of God's faithfulness. So I shall give you an opportunity and then we'll move on. Peter.
I feel bad because I'm always talking from the front. As Paul was speaking into Monica's life, her telephone went off again. There's always stuff that tries to come in that is not of God. And Monica reached down and switched it off. And, you know, simple thing, isn't it? You know, I'm trying to make a big spiritual point about that. But we just have to learn, don't we, not to listen to those voices that are not of God.
Thank you. It would be so much easier, wouldn't it, in our Christian walk if God did actually send texts. And it didn't require us to listen in any other way. I remember what I was going to say now. Bear in mind what we've just shared, where we are, and the fact that we're going.
The reading today is from Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this should be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. This is the word of the Lord.
Could I ask everybody to stand?
Uh, I'd like the men for a few moments to pray for the preacher this morning. And while you're doing that, I'd like the women to pray for that we would hear God. So the men, I'd like you to pray for the preacher. You can, I don't want you pray out loud, but you can do, but not for everyone to hear. You can pray in tongues, in English or Greek. We don't mind. And at the same time as the men are praying for the preacher, I'd like the women to pray for us that we would be able to receive and hear something. Go. You can be a little bit Pentecostal. I wish we would be. Amen. Thank you. Sit down. I think what I just feel that the word that Peter gave, maybe I don't need to speak this morning. Shall I sit down? I'm tempted to go and sit down. If you would receive it, I'll sit down. Shall we have a vote? If you could receive that word that Pete spoke, I'll sit down. Because it was really, really, I don't want to say it was really good. I haven't got any words. It was awesome, wasn't it? All the voices we hear in our lives, all the time, every day, all the nonsenses, all the voices from Satan often, from our troubled minds or circumstances, are speaking. All the voices that Joseph would have been hearing from the villagers that would have said to him, don't marry her. What are you going to do, this Mary woman? So I just feel and sense that what he said, you know, just get hold of that. Yeah, what did you say? Come and say it again. Can you, come on. Come and say it again. Yes, good.
The monitor's phone went off, didn't it? Yeah. And while Paul was speaking, God's word over the God over Monica, and she switched it off. And, you know, we just have to learn how to, you know, recognize what is of God.
And we're not talking about, he's not really talking about phones now, is he? He's not talking about phones. Are you getting this? He's not talking about phones. That's just an illustration and a picture. So shall I sit down? Because I'm no different to you and you're no different to me, actually. My nose is different, but that's all. We're the same people. We have the same things going on. These voices that are not from the Lord. They belong to Satan, not Santa. We need to get rid of them and we need to come against them in the name of Jesus. You need to help me in my life come against them in the name of Jesus. I need you. You need me, men, to come on your side and come against them. That's what you want, men, against these voices, isn't it? So we're thinking about Mary a little bit this morning. I don't know what you think about when you think about Mary, but I've kind of like changed 45 years of, I don't know how many words I've spoken about this Mary woman, how many sermons I've done on Mary, but you know, Mary, in one sentence, is this. She was a slave. I don't know what picture you want to say. I don't know what phrase you want to say, but it's wrong. She was basically a slave. The NIV puts it so badly, it's terrible, a servant. But we'll come to that at the end. She basically said to God, at the end of this thing that she experienced, I'm yours. You can have me. Or like the old prophets in the Old Testament said, here I am. Send me. But I've jumped the gun a bit. So let's have a look at the calling on Mary. She understood the calling. She understood it. And then she accepted it. And then she became a slave. Now, when I say slave, you think, oh, no, 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 no. That's bad. No, no, it's good. But we'll come to that at the end. So let's see what went on. So Gabriel, God sends a messenger in the form of an angel to speak to a young little woman who had her own plans and life set out with an older man called Joseph, already betrothed, good as married legally. And God interrupted her plans and her life and began to speak to her and said, you are highly favored. That's the first thing. You're highly favored, Mary. We're not saying you're perfect. You're not. We're not saying that. But you are highly favored. One thing. The second thing Gabriel said, the Lord is with you. There's one message in the Bible, one big message, it's the main message. God is with us. Fear not. And it's when I forget that, and when you forget that, and we know it in theory, and we know the doctrine, and we can recite the scripture, but when we forget, when I forget that God is with me, I lose the plot or begin to lose it. But when I know that God is with me and the implications of that, I can face or do anything. So the first thing is, Gabriel said, you're highly favored. The Lord is with you. And you're favored. Again, in verse 28, the messenger says, you're favored. And again, the messenger says, you're favored again. You're going to have a child. So she's beginning now to receive and understand. And you're going to have a child. You're going to call him Jesus. Because it's not about you. I know you got your little plan. Ditch it. You got a little plan. Little Mary. You know, 5'6" little Mary, married to Joseph or about to be, got your own little plan, a Jewish life, lots of kids, blah, blah, blah. Put it aside. The messenger says, you're going to have a child, you're going to call him the Savior. You're made for the world, Mary. We're going to use your life for the world forever. It's not about you. And when this child is born, there's only one name you can give him. Because that's what he's going to do. His name is what he's going to do. He's going to save people from all sorts of things. He's going to save them from their sins. He's going to save them from themselves. He's going to save them for heaven. He's going to save them from hell. He's going to heal them. He's going to be a savior. He shall bring salvation through you, Mary. He's going to be called the Son of God. That challenged her theology. When the message of God comes, it challenges what we believe. She was a good Jewish woman who knew and believed that God does not have any sons. But he does have one and only son. I'm disturbing your theology. I'm disturbing what you believe. He's going to be the Son of God. He's going to have a throne. An invisible and visible throne. He's going to have a kingdom. Mary began to understand this. And we know she was beginning to understand because of her response. There was a call on her life. There's a call on your life. There's a call on my life. Have you got it? Sometimes we have to put aside our own thoughts and plans because his ways and his thoughts are hugely different. So the first thing is that she understood something and more than enough. She didn't understand everything. We don't have to understand everything to have peace. Our culture is one of information so that we are okay. Let me understand. I will be at peace. The more information I have, the more I'm in the know. And we've got this false thing. It stinks. I think it's peculiar to our culture. She understood not a vast amount, but more than enough. She did. She grasped it and she believed it. She heard. She received. She accepted the call. She heard, understood, and accepted the call. And then we have this amazing response from Mary. So I've got one point to make, and when I've made it, I'll say I've made it. So you're not worrying. Is it a three-point sermon? How many things is he saying this morning? What's it really all about? I haven't said it yet, but when I've said it, I'll tell you I've said it. So you can relax. But don't forget what Pete said. There are those epiphany moments, aren't there? There are those moments in our life when the light comes on, and it's at those moments that we should dig really deep and stay with that, because God is trying to get our attention. And God got Mary's attention, and she responded and said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord. I've got it. I'm doing it. I'm saying yes." The New American Standard Bible puts it like that. "Behold, I'm getting hold of this. This is it. It's not in the NIV it says, I am the Lord's servant." It's so pathetically pathetic. It's so unlike the Greek New Testament there. "I am the Lord's servant." One, the word servant is not used there. It's doulos. You say doulos. Doulos is paint. The Greek is doulos. It's modern Greek. It's ancient Greek. It's New Testament Greek. It's Jesus Greek. It's the word doulos. Ime o doulos tou Theou. I am the Lord's slave. Don't think slave bad. This is slave great. I am ime o doulos tou Theou. In the Greek Orthodox marriage service, when I saw the big fat Greek wedding one film, that was the most moving thing I've seen in most films. When they have to say, "Ime o doulos tou Theou." That's the one thing I remember. And my response to that at that moment, sitting in the cinema. "Ime o doulos tou Theou." I am the Lord's slave. She said this, "Behold, behold, I've got hold of this. It's got hold of me. I am my Lord's. He is mine." It's like, behold. It's not see. It's not little look. Look, I'm the Lord's servant. Or look, I'm this little slave. It's like, behold. He's got hold of me. I've got hold of him. Yes. Behold, I am the bond slave of the Lord. The DLNT Bible puts it like this. Mary said, "Behold, the slave of the Lord. My life is not mine. I say yes to the messenger. I'm saying yes to God. I'm saying yes to this baby. I understand the call. It's not about my life. I'm God's. I'm gone. I'm out of here. I'm not listening to your voices, anyone's voices, Satan's voices. Behold, I am the slave of the Lord." And it's a beautiful thing. It's not going to be an easy thing, I know. There will be tragedy and tears. But there's no other place to go. There's no other thing to do. God has spoken. Do I have a choice? I can be disobedient and have a choice. Behold, I am the slave of the Lord. The LEB says, "Behold, the Lord's female slave." Female slave. That's how one translation translates it. That's correct. Doula, doulos. Doulos for a man, doula for a woman. She was replying, "I am the Lord's female slave." And then we have the weak NIV, which is pathetic. It's not worth reading, but I'll read it so you can remember it. "I am the Lord's servant." Paul, writing to the Romans in Romans 1:1, says a similar thing. Who was Paul? Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus. We've got it, a servant of Jesus Christ. He was a servant, but doesn't say servant in the Greek. He's a slave. Paul, I could say something similar. Andreas, ο δούλος του Θεού. Andreas, ο δούλος του Θεού. Paul said, Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle. Andreas, ο δούλος του Θεού και ευαγγελιστής. Andreas, a slave of Christ Jesus, called to be an evangelist. There's a calling on my life as an evangelist. To bring men and women and others to Jesus Christ. Who am I? Who are you? Paul said he was a slave of Jesus, called to be an apostle, and set apart. Set apart. Signaled out. Set apart. Been separated for. Let me just say that again. Different versions put it differently. Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle and signaled out for God's good news. Or set apart for God's good news. Or having been separated for God's good news. Who was Mary? Mary was this obedient. She heard, understood, didn't hear the other voices of the past, didn't care what other people might say, think, or do. Mary, the magnificent, the most amazing, who heard God's call for the world, that her life would be for the world. She heard it, understood it, and then accepted it, and then concludes, and this is my point, by saying, "Behold, I am the Lord's slave." Behold, the slave of the Lord. Behold, the Lord's female slave. I find this whole thing very challenging. I've got a definition of a bond slave. It says this: a person in a state of slavery, one whose person and liberty are subjected to the authority of a master. Είμαι ο δούλος του Θεού. I am a slave of the Lord. Paul emphasized this morning about the lordship. That's what Mary did. He's the Lord. He's the Lord of my life. So I am subjected to his will. One whose person and liberty are subjected to the authority of a master. Who is Jesus to me? Who is he to you? Who is he? Is he my master? Is he? Is he my Lord? Is he, do I love him more than anything else, anybody else? Do I love him more than even my own life? Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you need to hate. And he gives a list of the people we need to hate, even your very self. In other words, you are to put me first and foremost, and love me more than anything and anybody, far, far, far greater than you love anybody, your wife, your husband, anyone, anything, anyone, even yourself. Lose your life. I read the words of Jesus, I want to say, they're too hard. Sometimes I read the words of Jesus and I say, are you kidding? Lord, help me to love like this. Am I hearing you here? Or am I hearing other voices or my own voice here? Mary was amazing. Behold, I am the Lord's slave. I don't have rights. I'm going to live for my master and my Lord. And I finish with this. She understood the words from Isaiah 49 and verse 14 to 16. Effectively, she understood this point, this theme, this subject. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. Behold, behold. The NIV says pathetically, see. No, it's like, behold, I have graven you. Some versions say, I've graven your name. It's not, I've graven your name. They're wrong. I've graven your name. I've graven everything about you. I've graven your present circumstances. I've graven your future. I've engraven everything, not just your little name. So God says, I haven't forgotten you. You're not forgotten. You're not forsaken. Why? Just because I haven't answered your prayer yet? The people of God were saying, have you forgotten us? Have you abandoned us? Have you left us? Are you not answering us? The Lord has forsaken us. The Lord has forgotten us. And God says, can a mother forget the baby? Can she have no compassion? Though she may, I will not though. I will not forget. Behold, I've graven you and your walls. They're on the palm of my hand. They're ever before me. And Mary got this message. That's my point. Have you got it? Get it. Get it, please. Let's get it. Let's live it. Today and every day. Behold, we are engraved on the palm of his hand. Mary got that message. I'm loved, I'm favored, I'm going to have a baby. It's good. So she got hold of God's love. And that's the point. When we understand and accept the call, then you and I can be more of God's slave. But if we don't get the call, and if we don't understand, we're going to be struggling with this. Why should he be? Why should I go deeper? Why should I go further? Why should I go further with Jesus and become this slave like Mary woman? Why? It's because we get this. Because we need to understand the call and message upon our lives. Then we can become slaves. So let's not focus on the slaves first. Let's focus on this one thing. We are loved and we're God's. Let's understand the calling upon each of us and get the message. Then we will respond like Mary and say, here am I. I've got it. I've got it. I've got it. I'm yours. I've got it. I'm favored. I'm loved. I'm graven on the palm of your hand. I've got it. I'm a slave then. Help me go deeper, Jesus. Help me go deeper. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Andy. We can... I think as I was listening to Andy, there's a few things that really stirred me. The first was the passion that Andy has when he speaks. And I think as we look at that story, we read it so quickly that we forget. I think if we were there, we would see the passion involved in this, even just the telling of this story. Because actually what jumped out of me straight, and Andy didn't talk about it, but it jumped out of me with the passion of this angel forgets himself. Because angels always start off with, do not be afraid. But the excitement of Gabriel was such that he forgets that bit and just goes, greetings, you are highly favored. And then goes, oh yeah, do not be afraid. Yeah, this is a story of such passion. And I think Andy communicated that really, really well this morning. And as Andy said, you know, we read these words, and Andy's message was not an easy one. But, you know, Jesus never promised it would be easy. He just he promised that he would be with you. He promised, as Andy said, that your names are engraven on, you are engraven on his hand. Everything about you, he knows, and he doesn't forget. But it's not a calling that's necessarily easy. And I think we forget that. We want everything nice and packaged. We want to know everything. We want it to be comfortable. We don't want it to be difficult. Or Jesus said that, you know, that's not this relationship. That's not what it's about. It's not about comfort. We're going to come to the end of our service in a moment, but I think it would be good to pray for a few things. And I think the first is for those people that, as Andy was speaking, you just felt really stirred. Something in your spirit was stirred because, you know, you've heard the call of God on your life. You've heard that call, that whether it's as dramatic as Mary's with an angelic visitation, or whether it's the gentle pull of God in your life. But you've not been as brave as Mary to say, I'm all yours, everything about me is yours. I'm laying it before you. And actually, just as Andy was speaking, that stirred something in your spirit, and you felt, you know, I really struggle with this. I really struggle between the call that God has on my life and the life that I want to lead, because they're a little bit of conflict. And the grace of God says, you do get to choose, but I know which one's better for you. So if that's you, then we would love to pray for you. The ministry team are going to be over in that corner over there by the Snow Leopard's door at the end. They'll pray for you. But I think also, during this season of Advent, it would be great to pray for those people that just are feeling overly busy. I'm particularly, I suppose, looking to the ladies, because it tends to be a season where the ladies in a family tend to get ridiculously busy, and I'm not wishing in any way to be sexist about that. I just think it's their, you know, the way that they're wired, they tend to just take on so much over this season. And right at the beginning of the service, while we were worshipping, I felt that actually there's a beauty in rest and a beauty in silence. And actually, it's not something we in the charismatic church celebrate very much. We tend to be we tend to look for noise and loudness and exuberance, and that's good, but actually there's also beauty in silence, in still, in centering ourselves, and Advent is about centering ourselves. And I think it's when we center ourselves and we put ourselves in that position that we come to some extent to be a little bit more like Mary, as Andy was speaking, someone who's ready to put aside your own desires, your own plans, your own purposes, and be ready to respond to those that God has put onto your life. And so if that's you, we'd like to pray for you as well. But as usual, we pray for anything and everything here. And if you want prayer, the team are going to be over there. Other than that, there's tea and coffee at the back. It's great to have seen you. If it's your first time, well, it's been wonderful to see you today. We would love it if you come back. We have two services every Sunday, usually at 8:30, which is a very simple said communion service, and at 10 o'clock, which you've experienced. Next Sunday, Nativity, don't forget. We shall